I want to read to you some words of Jesus. How many believe the words of Jesus are important words? Amen. Christ spoke these words. Concerning expecting His return, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? You literally believe that Christ, who is in heaven now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, is going to leave heaven one of these days and come back to this earth. Yes. Listen to the words of Jesus. But of that day, verse 36, of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let that sink in. But as the days of Noah were. How many remember who Noah was? So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore. Jesus says, watch, therefore. For you do not know. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Brother Pill, would you stand and ask God to minister?
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. With open hearts and open ears, Lord,
yes, Lord.
The word. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would anoint Pastor Lay as he brings this message.
Help us, Lord.
We ask that the Holy Spirit would anoint each of us as we receive it. We do it, ask your blessing, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen.
September the 15th, 2001. President George W. Bush, speaking to the nation from right up here at Camp David, encouraged the American people to prepare themselves for prolonged conflict. We know now, as it was an introduction to the war on terror. And so the U.S. Armed Forces, he delivered this message to them that same evening. Blunt, clear. Everybody who wears the uniform, get ready. Here in the scripture, Jesus is telling his disciples that they need to get ready. And they need to stay ready. in the final days when Christ is going to return. For his return will be when most people are not expecting him to come.
Amen.
In the year 375 AD, an early Christian writer proclaimed, "There is no doubt that the Antichrist has already been born, firmly established in his early years, and in a few years will achieve supreme power." That was in 375. Hippolytus wrote that Christ would come back in the year 500. The year surrounding the year 1000 was filled with predictions of the coming of Christ. It was recorded that people were so sure of the Lord's coming that they didn't even plant their crops. Year 1000. In the 1500s, Martin Luther wrote, "We have reached the time of the white horse of the apocalypse. This world won't last any longer." Little known fact is that Christopher Columbus was a student of biblical prophecy. He wrote a volume called The Book of Prophecies. Didn't realize that when you studied that Christopher Columbus founded America. In that book, The Book of Prophecies, he predicted that the world would end in 1556. Was Columbus right? No. He even wrote, "There is no doubt that the world must end in 155 years. The year 1666 saw an explosion of end time speculation. One pastor wrote in his journal, "Every time a storm has hit this year, the church was full of people waiting for Jesus." How many know that if everybody throughout our communities believed that Christ was coming back, this church would be packed this morning? In 1800, William Miller predicted the return of Christ in 1844. All over the Northeast, 500,000 Adventists awaited the end of the world on April the 3rd, 1843. Journalists had a field day with this. Reportedly, some disciples were on mountaintops hoping for a head start to heaven. Others were in graveyards planning to ascend in union with their departed loved ones. I'd never thought about that before. Some high society ladies clustered together outside Philadelphia to avoid entering God's holy kingdom amid the common herd. I think they had a special place, didn't they? 1992, Harold Camping predicted the end. Again, nothing happened. And he changed his date to 93. And then again to 94. Here we are, 2014. We're still here. Jesus declared total secrecy about his return. No man knows the day nor the hour. The actual day and hour that Christ will return are known only by God. The return of Christ is a real event that is still in our future. There is a fixed day and a fixed hour when Christ will return. Don't forget that. Whatever you're busy doing in your life, whatever you're involved in, Those of you that are graduating right now, you're looking forward. Boy, I'm going to college. I'm going to get this job, and I'm going to do that. But keep always at the forefront of your mind, there is a day, there is an hour, there is a moment when Christ will return. The return of Christ is secret. Jesus said, no one, not even the angels, know the time. My Father only. Watchful believers will be sensitive to the season and the generation, but the exact day and hour are hid from man. Look around. Do you see the world and what's going on in it? Have you heard anybody say within the last month or so, it can't belong till Christ returns, till He comes again? Anyone who proclaims a date for the Lord's return is in conflict with the words of Jesus. Amen. Absolutely do not believe them. Amen. I was in a church one time many years ago. Never forget it. There was even a message in tongues and an interpretation that on a certain date the Lord was going to return. I said, no, 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 no. That has to be false, because it's not according to the words of Christ. Christ's point is simply this: be ready all the time. Amen? Expect Him at any moment, any time. Doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter where you are. That's not going to hinder Him when He decides to come. Jesus said in other times to watch for the signs of His coming. Be ready every day and every hour. When you hear that alarm clock in the morning, maybe the first thing you ought to think about is, Jesus might come today. This might be the moment. I may make it to work and I may not. Jesus could come before that moment and that time. I may make it to lunchtime, or I may not. Christ could come. We may come home tonight, or we may not, because Christ could come. Noah kept working on the boat clear up until the moment God shut the door. And so we must continue to work for Christ, expecting His coming any moment. Did you hear what Jesus said about the people in Noah's day? They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. They were continuing their lifestyle. They were continuing what they were doing without any regard to the preaching of Noah. And did not realize that it was happening until the flood came upon them and they were gone. At the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for taking a stand against Hitler. Yet he continued to urge fellow believers to resist Nazi tyranny. A group of Christians, believing that Hitler was the Antichrist, asked Bonhoeffer, "Why do you expose yourself to all this danger? Jesus will return any day now, and all your work and suffering will be for nothing." Bonhoeffer said to them, "If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor. But today I have work to do, and I must continue the struggle until it is finished." Friends, we cannot sit down on the job. We cannot quit and just pack up our things and say, "All right, Lord, come. I'm ready. Any moment, come." We must work till that day when the trumpet sounds and we hear His call from eternity. Conditions of the day of Christ's return. But as it was in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He will come when the world is living just as it was living in Noah's day, having sensual lives, eating as in gluttony, drinking as in drunkenness, and marrying as in time after time in lusting after the flesh of life. Does that sound familiar? What is our world doing? Who would have dreamed that in America we would be seeing the things happening that are happening today? All of this. Pornography is on the rampage. I just read today now, they are actually baking cakes to celebrate divorce. You can buy a cake, you can throw a party, because you and the latest one you have is now getting rid of each other. Eating and drinking and the drunkenness. You know, we've been fighting drunkenness now for many, many years. We've now entered into the drug age in which drugs are becoming legal. Our state police are after being reformed and re-educated on how to spot high drug addicts going down the road, because now it's illegal to smoke grass. As it was in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, being merry, giving themselves to licentiousness, living with no regard for the message of judgment and destruction preached by Noah, living in their sinful, lustful desires right up until the very time that Noah entered the ark and God shut the door and the rain began to pour down. Only then did some of them look up from their wine goblets. Only then did some of them crawl out of their beds of lust. Only then did those who were filled with gluttony and lustful desires take note that something is happening. But it was too late. Now the floods were coming. Bible says, Jesus said, they knew not. They did not expect the coming judgment. They felt secure in themselves and in their world. No concern about Noah's message, but wrapped up in their worldly materialistic lives. People living all around Emmanuel Chapel pay no attention whatsoever to what we're doing here and what's going on. They could care less about the message of Christ coming. They could care less. Just give me another day. Give me another time that I can live it up and have a big time and do my thing. I'll take care of that when I get closer to the day. Christ's coming will be a time of separation, said Jesus. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. On that day, when Christ comes, no one knows He is coming. Not even the believers will know. They all go to work as usual. While they are about their usual affairs, all of a sudden, one shall be taken and the other left. There will be separation from those nearest us. A mother will have put down her little baby, and when Christ comes, the baby disappears. The mother who is not serving Christ will be left behind, distraught. Where's my baby? Husbands and wives sleeping in the same bed, one saved, the other not. They'll roll over in the midst of the night and their spouse is gone. They get up and search the house and they're no longer there. Where did they go? The clothes are lying there, but they're gone. What has happened? On that day, After things begin to settle in, people will be banging on this church door wanting to hear the message of salvation again. But it will be too late. When that moment comes, and whoever you're with, are you leaving or are you staying? That's the question of the day. The believer will be caught up to be with the Lord. The unbeliever will be left behind to face judgment. How many has ever studied the tribulation period in the book of Revelation? If you haven't, it's an eye-opener. During that 7 years of tribulation, 1/3 of the population of the earth will die. We have 7 billion people on this globe right now. Can you imagine in 7 years, 2 billion people will die? What's going to happen to this old earth and this old world? Finally, when Jesus appears with the saints of God out of heaven at the end, those that are living on this earth will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of God. Then all of those who spent their Sundays with their feet propped up, giving no attention to God, then all of those, Brother John, out at security, whose automobiles you see at the tavern there every day, they're going to be wondering, what in the world has happened? The world will begin to get a news alert. Hundreds are missing. Thousands are gone. Unaccounted for. What is taking place? The Lord has come. Those who are saved have been caught away in what we know as the rapture. The believer's duty is to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Watch. Keep awake. Stay alert. Be vigilant. The believer watches and stays ready for the Lord's return, not knowing which day or hour He will come. He pays attention to the signs of Christ's coming. One of the biggest signs of His coming is Israel. The Bible says that when Israel is compassed about with the armies of this world wanting to destroy it, look up, for your redemption draws near. Israel became a nation in 1948. We just celebrated its national birth. Do you know that the Bible also says this generation shall not pass until the Lord's return? I was born in 45. I'm nearly 70 years old. And that generation from 1948 is aging quickly. That generation is quickly coming to a close. So it is giving us a bird's eye picture that it cannot be long. Oh, I know we said 375 and 500 and 1900. These people were looking for the coming of the Lord. But Israel was promised to be rebirthed into a nation. And we see those things of the last days. So that is telling us we need to be watching. When I was just a boy, I read a little tract, and it is stuck in my mind. It said, be found doing nothing that you would not want to be found doing when Jesus comes. Be found saying nothing that you would not want to be found saying when Jesus comes. Be found in no place that you would not want to be found when Jesus comes. Oh, my friend, I want to make sure that I'm watching. Watching, having an attitude and a behavior to walk soberly and godly among those that I live around, so that they can say, there is somebody who is watching and looking and believing in the coming of Jesus Christ. The believer watches, being ready to die, meet the Lord through death. As Brother Roy told me yesterday, you know, however God wants, if God wants to take him through this cancer, then he's ready to go. We do not know, do we? We know not the day or the hour when we may leave this earth. When I'm riding up and down, every time I get off of the interstate coming from a trip, I say, God, thank you. You know, you're riding at 70 miles an hour and there's a tractor trailer 3 feet away from you going 80 miles an hour. And you're saying, oh, don't let that front tire blow out. Amen. Lord, thank you every time we get home. The believer must watch, must be waiting for the coming of the Lord. Christian commentator Warren Wiersbe tells about a frontier town where a horse bolted away with a wagon behind it down the road, down the dusty, dirty, bumpy road, and there was a little boy in the wagon. Seeing the child in danger, there was a young man standing nearby. He sprinted into action, risked his life, ran into the path of the horse, grabbed the bridle and held on till he got the wagon stopped and saved the little boy. Some years later, that child grew up and became a lawless man. He was brought before a judge. Standing there awaiting a sentence for his serious crime, he recognized the judge as the man who ran into the street and saved him as a little boy. And so he said to the judge, don't you remember me? Maybe you'll have some sympathy toward me. And the judge looked up at the young man from behind the bench and said, young man, that day I was your savior. Today, I'm your judge. I must sentence you to be hanged. One day Jesus will say to rebellious sinners, during that long day of grace, I was your savior. I would have forgiven you of whatever you had done wrong. But today, I'm your judge. Are you living like you are expecting Jesus any moment? Would you stand with me? Would you bow your head? You are standing as one before God right now. You've heard the message. Are you looking for Jesus? The life you've been living, is it a life that is watching for the coming of Christ? Or are you living recklessly? Without regard for what Jesus said, I'm coming back. No man knows the day nor the hour. Are you ready? You might say, preacher, I'll make it another day. That day may never come. I've been called out of bed more than once. I've been called to the emergency room. And before I could even get there, the one that I was going to see slipped away. And I'll never forget, as a teenager, I heard a terrible noise outside of our trailer there in Clay Lake, Pennsylvania. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I got out of bed, got dressed, went down toward the road. There was a car down in the field upset. There was another car alongside the road. I went to step up on the bank. And a fireman or somebody had gotten there, someone with a flashlight. And as I went to put my foot down, right there near me was a young teenage boy. And as I looked down into his face, he drew his last breath. He died along that road. When he came around that hairpin turn, there at Mr. Huntsberger's, he was traveling at a high rate of speed, racing with another car, not realizing that in 100 yards he would die. I stood along that road and watched his mother come to the scene of the accident and cradle the son of her dead boy, screaming to the top of her lungs, "I'll never forget it. As long as I live." He wasn't expecting that that would be his last. Mama wasn't expecting that her son would never come home. Are you and I expecting Christ to return? Are we really watching? The call is coming out to you today. This is a serious moment in your life. And I'm asking you this morning, if you want to make sure that you're ready, you want to make sure that you're right with God, you want to make a new commitment to God, you want to make a new commitment about being ready and prepared, you don't want to be left behind, you don't want to be sitting at work and your neighbor at the next workstation is taken away in an instant, but you're left behind. You want to make sure that you're ready to go. Step out of your seat right now. I'm giving you an altar call. An old-fashioned altar call. If you want to make a recommitment, a rededication of your life. You want to say, "Lord, more than anything else in my life, I want to make sure I'm ready to see Jesus." Come on. Step out right now. Come down. Come down to this altar. Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. If there's any doubts whatsoever, if there's anything at all, you need to get clarified with God. You want to say, "God, I want to make sure. I want this to be the day that I am telling the world, I am telling everybody, and I am mostly coming before you saying, 'God, I want to be ready for your coming. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want anything keeping me out of heaven.'" When Jesus calls, when Jesus comes, I want to be prepared. Is there another? The Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door. The Spirit of God is speaking to your life. Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. It means a total dedication. It means a consecration. "But oh preacher, I still want to do some of the things that I want to do. I do some things that I know is maybe not right with the Lord, but I don't want to give them up. I don't want to face my friends. I don't want to face..." But Lord, today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Say yes to Christ. I'm taking for granted that the rest of you are saying, "I'm ready. I'm ready. Let him call today. I'm ready to go. Let him come today. I'm ready to leave." If you're saying in your heart, "I don't know for sure that I would leave today if Jesus came. If this were the day, if this were the hour, I'm not quite sure." Then you need to step out. You need to come. You need to surrender to the Lord again. Amen. I want everybody else to come gather behind these that have stepped out. Take a moment. Take a moment to come and pray with them. Take a moment to come and share with them. Pray with them about their salvation, about their being ready for the coming of the Lord. This is your moment. If you haven't joined us yet and you want to come, come. Join us now. right now. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your soul. He knows everything about you. He knows your very thoughts. He knows the very intents of your heart. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to come? Lord Jesus, we stand here before you right now. And oh God, whatever happens in life, I don't want to lose. I don't want to miss that moment. I don't want to miss that time, Lord. I don't want to miss that moment when you return, when you come back. Lord, I don't want to miss you. I want to make sure that when the trumpet sounds, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave the ground. Oh Lord, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my heart to you. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. Purify me, Lord. Forgive me of all the junk and all the sin and all the rottenness in my life. Wash me and cleanse me and make me pure, Lord. Because I want to be ready for you when you return and when you come. I don't want to be left behind. Lord, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch my actions. I'm going to watch my life. I'm going to watch how I live. Because other people are watching me, and I might lead somebody astray. But if I'm watching for you, I might lead them close to you. I might lead them into heaven. So Lord, cleanse me, purify me, mold me, make me the vessel that you want me to be, Jesus. This one thing I want above all else, I want to be ready when the trumpet sounds, when Christ returns again. And everybody said, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready to go.